Psalm 27. One thing I have desired of the Lord, verse 4, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. And now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we draw nigh at the throne of your grace, we only long, Lord, to have your way in our lives, even at this hour. May you be exalted, not only in our thoughts and our desires, but may the longing of our hearts be the same as the psalmist, the writer King David, that he desires to dwell in thy house forever, and to inquire in your temple, and to behold thy beauty, O Lord. Lord, we confess that sometimes, if not all the time, we fail to recognize the need to meditate upon thy beauty, and to dwell in the right motivation, in the right frame of mind and heart, to exalt thee and to seek thee with all our hearts. Forgive us, Lord, if the seeking in our hearts and the longing to see thy beauty, so that it will perfect your plan and purpose for a holy and righteous life through the Christ-likeness of life that you desire for each one of us. Lord, please undertake our need to grasp this truth and to long and see that the Lord is good. Amen. In undertaking to desire this longing of our hearts, like King David. Forgive us, Lord, if our worship is sometimes lukewarm, although in our own self-centeredness, we lack those inquiring, those drawing nigh and seeking the beauty of our God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So may this meditation, Lord, fill once more our hearts and redirect our hearts, Lord, to worship thee truly in our hearts, that we may dwell in the house of the Lord forevermore, and to behold thy beauty, the beauty of thy holiness and righteousness in the Lord Jesus Christ, and to inquire in your temple, to be instructed in thy holy word, that we may be better prepared to serve thee and to testify of thee in this wicked world that we face and we live in. Thank you that we are more than conquerors through him who loved us and died for us, in the Lord Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
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 It is always a great privilege to be able to hear when we come to a prayer meeting in the house of God. Sometimes this is not something that is boring to you, that it takes a long quiet pauses, that sometimes we are not ready to praise God when we are called to do so, and thank God for anything that happened to us or that the Lord has blessed us. We cannot even express something of the Lord's gracious dealings and merciful dealings with us during the week. And in this particular psalm, we are actually privileged to hear the longing of the psalmist, King David. It is helpful to realize what kind of vision that saint of old, King David, and even in the New Testament as well, through the life of the Apostle Paul that we read from Hebrews. What is actually motivating him? And when they come and fall on their knees before the throne of God's grace, what is the burden of their supplication when they pray for others? As I introduce these thoughts to you, maybe you can also recall what is the contents of the prayer of other Christians. Is it more of self? Is it more of the material things that the Lord blesses us? More often than not, that's the case. There are a lot of people always praising for the things of this world. We can praise God, yes, for His material blessings, but this is not what in this psalm is talking about. He said, he loves to dwell in the house of the Lord. He wants to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. That should be our portion. So that it is the believer's great delight to mention but a few of the apostles, Paul's time of prayer as well, in time of his meditation and even supplications. Just to pick up one, Philippians 1, take your Bible for a while, Philippians 1, not to divert our thought from this psalm, actually. If you can see with me quickly with that, it's good to realize and to feel envious of what our apostle is talking about here. In Philippians chapter 1, verse 3 to 4, he says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making requests for you with joy. And then in verse 9, and this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and in discernment. Look at that word he mentioned, I thank my God. That is a highly heightened picture of how close ears with God. I thank my God. We only sometimes hear a lot of Christians say, praise the Lord. If you're not careful, they think it's the people who hold the title, the Lords, in the House of Lords. If you're not careful, let's be specific when we say, praise the Lord, my God. It's very important because our God is a person, is not only spirit, but he revealed himself in the Lord Jesus Christ. So that our God is not too far to behold his beauty, but we can see and behold his beauty in the face and glorious face and person of our Lord Jesus Christ. So dearly beloved, he is also not only anxious to pray for others, but he is also filled with joy. Always in prayer and of mine making requests for you with joy. Now this is a challenge as we come to meditate upon the life of David. Sometimes when we pray, for example, we talk and pray about some people that we want to remember, and we remember the back of our mind some negative things about a person. And there's no more joy in our prayer, isn't it? Because we remember negative things about the person we're praying about. And I think this should not be the case. Whatever that person have inflicted, some sorrow, upon the body of Christ, we still have a sense of joy in drawing nigh unto God in making supplication. And so in this psalm, on which we are meditating tonight, the veil is lifted, and we over here, actually we can feel the voice and the desire of his heart, which is this saint of old. And what is the nature of his prayer? Maybe we can ask, what is the nature of his prayer? And we don't ask that. We can probably read this psalm many times, but what is the content of the prayer? What is the goal which offers the greatest attraction to draw nigh at the throne of God's grace? But he said, one thing have I desired of the Lord, that is desiring, and that will I seek after. He is seeking all the time to be on his knees in the house of God, or in the tabernacle of old. What is this thing which formed the attractive goal or pursuit of his devotional life? Well, we'll look first the character of that pursuits or quest of his heart while he is dwelling and desiring and seeking and inquiring in the house of God. First character of his pursuit is that he may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of his life. He prays that his life may be spent in sanctuary. There is a sense here that he does not want to go away too long, because he loves to cry in the presence of God. To him, the ideal life is that of ceaseless worship. In other words, even when he is outside of that sanctuary, his heart is longing to worship God all the more. So there is no stoppage. But we in the modern times, Christians, we have only, say, 2 hours at the most, and then long to come back home. Of course, I'm not saying there is no really big reason for that. But if God is really our inheritance, our true joy, when the psalmist says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. Are we continually having the same desire of ceaseless worship? The saint dwells in the house of the Lord the days of his life. There is a never-ending experience of wanting to worship God. Even though his life consists of, few hours and few days from it, the whole life is pervaded by the atmosphere of worship. And nowadays, believers only spend 2 hours at the most in the morning worship, and an hour perhaps in the evening, or perhaps 45 minutes of their completed worship during the Sunday. But here is a man whose aspiration is not only for a partial sitting and listening to the Word of God and meditating upon the Word of God, but for a life entirely devoted to divine worship. Wow, that's too much high standard, maybe. But that is what he's trying to impress upon us, which is his experience. Otherwise, it won't be written here. But that is his deepest longing and desiring. He never wishes to be away from the atmosphere of worship. He desires never to lose the attitude of supplicating in behalf of others, as I have shown you in the life of the Apostle Paul. He longs to pray without ceasing. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17. Pray without ceasing. I just praise God that I'm challenged to pray with our brother Pastor Mark, that he challenged me to pray, at least even just between the two of us and some of my family members who want to join me. And when I'm meditating upon this, how all the more I've seen the big logic of it, the big privilege of it. And Pastor Mark has been saying, it's a privilege.
Amen.
But sometimes we feel a bit sluggard. We feel a bit detached from it because we're not used to it. There's someone who said she just spent a vigil prayer from their church. In other words, there's an allotment of time from members who want to pray from, 24 hours. But of course, that's their practice, and it's possible always, because this is the thought of the psalmist. He wants to spend all his life in the sanctuary, seeking God, beholding the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in the temple. But how many people today? Sometimes we feel only 4 or 5, but if we are not discouraged. But it doesn't mean that God is less present when we are few and more present when we are many. No. Where 2 or 3 are gathered in my name, he says, I am in the midst of them.
Amen.
But of course, we are not only longing for 2 or 3, but more of thy people, isn't it? So if the psalmist prayed that he might not be a mere sojourner in the house, or perhaps a part of the fellowship in the house of worship, but that the incense of devotion might rise continually from his reverent and aspiring soul. What are you aspiring for when you come to worship God? It's just to listen for, say, 45 minutes or 30 hours, and you listen the message from here, but it doesn't sink here. And then when people will ask you, what is the message? One president of America was asked in the past by his wife. He attended a nearby church in Pennsylvania, Lane, not Pennsylvania State. What is the message about? Oh, there's a long pause. He talks about sin. He talks about sin. And I agree with it. He said. And that is a testimony. Although it's a short word, but at least he remembers something, isn't it? People nowadays just want to hear what they hear. There is a book that was written by a psychologist. You know, if they talk about Christian psychologists, if they, to better feel better with yourself, not only in your home but in the church, don't try to develop negative thinking, about others. Try to do this and that, But the Word of God has a better plan, which is in this particular reading, Psalm 27. Distress, negative thoughts, thinking about the past that is too difficult for you to bear, for each one of us to bear. If we always think about that, it will pull us down, isn't it? But here, the psalmist says, I long to behold the beauty of the Lord. I want to echo my cry, his supplication, in the house of God, and to inquire in his temple. Look what the Apostle Paul, when he's meditating, when he's supplicating in God's word, when he's in preaching in different churches. I would say, I think, for the sake of encouraging us, what should be the contents of our supplication and when we dwell in the house of the Lord. Colossians 1:3. Why don't we look Colossians 1:3 for our encouragement? He says here, we give thanks to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Again, this is the Apostle Paul. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of your love for all the saints, because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, of which you heard before the word of the truth of the gospel, which has come to you, as it has also in all the world, and is bringing forth fruit, as it is also among you since the day you heard and knew the grace of God in truth. As also you learned from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is faithful and minister of Christ on your behalf, who also declared to us your love in the Spirit. Verse 9. For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to ask that you may be able, that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Is that the content of our prayer? That God will give us, will fill us with knowledge of His will, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. We rarely pray like that, isn't it, in the church? We only pray for their condition, isn't it? But we must also fill our supplication that other brothers and sisters will be filled with the knowledge of His will. And in verse 10, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him. Do we pray for a pleasing walk for others, that they may know that grace as well, even though we already know it ourselves? And being fruitful in every good works, that they may know, not only say that they have faith, but their faith is backed up, their faith in Christ is backed up by good works. Being useful in Thy kingdom, the talents that God gave us is to make use of them, so that it will produce good works and increasing in the knowledge of God. Do we pray for increased knowledge of God for others? And strengthen, verse 11, with all might, that they may be strengthened by the power of God's promises and the Holy Spirit, according to His glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy. Do we realize that we have the most available, powerful God, the greatness of God, the omnipotence of God, who created the whole world? Sometimes we know this truth, but we don't appropriate, we don't long to seek the promises of God, the beauty of God's promises, which is part of His omnipotent power, of His omniscience power. Omniscience, He knows everything. And His ever-present, glorious direction in our lives. That should be a good inclusion to our supplication for others, that they may know the greatness of God, the power of God, and the providence of God in their lives. And then the next character of that pursuit is that he wants to behold the beauty of the Lord. Again, this is a challenge to us. This is the second greatest interest of the psalmist after dwelling in the house of the Lord. He is longing or yearning for a life that is inspired by meditating on the beauty of God's holiness. If we wish to taste the sweetness of life fulfillment in the kingdom of God, and in experiencing what the psalmist says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good, blessed is the man who trusts in Him, we must move in the spirit of more deliberate desiring in meditating upon the Word of God. We cannot produce that on our own. Because love, the love of Christ in us at its best, should actually be expressed in interesting ourselves and feeling concern for the needs of others, which is what we just read about Paul's supplication in Colossians 1, verse 3, and so on. And also in Philippians chapter 1, verse 3. He is supplicating them with joy. Maybe we lack joy in praying for others. This psalmist is filled with joy as well. As the beauty of God's majestic holiness is before him in his meditation, and the beauty dawns upon his vision, and perhaps to some of us as well, in our meditation of God's word, and when we listen to the sermon that depicts the beauty of God's holiness and his righteousness in Christ, then it should inspire our hearts into a more fervent pursuing and desiring this holiness that God is wanting and implanting in the life of his saints, in the life of his people. Because without holiness, without righteous living, without a changed life, people won't believe our witness. Because they see, well, if he is a Christian, it's the old person that we see. So let's continue, dear brothers and sisters in the Lord, to gaze upon the Lord Jesus. What it took him on that cross to pay the penalty for our sin. And the fruits of the Holy Spirit, which is actually his fruit. The fruit of the Holy Spirit is in Christ. So let's continue to ask the Lord. If we only feel one of them, sometimes intermittently feeling them or experiencing them, we must continue to draw from this eternal spring of water in the Lord Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit. And then, lastly, the third character of the pursuit of the psalmist is that he always inquired in his temple, in the temple of God. What about us? After listening to the sermon, do we ask questions so that the minister will be pleased to know that you're interested to know more? We don't, isn't it? I heard in the Philippines what I was listening. I went to a message to another church, you know. And then people, when the person begin to speak about warning of the future, the second coming, and using illustration about we should be prepared upon the coming of the Lord, some illustrations are nerve-wracking and fear, filled with fear, illustrations. You know what people says? They hear some message, oh, it's just frightening us. Imagine such a response. Oh, the pastor is frightening us. Something like that. They don't say God's word is impressing upon the judgment to come. If we don't live as we should, if we don't change as we should, we won't be prepared, isn't it? Part of the preparation, actually, and it's good to realize in the house of the Lord and to behold the beauty of the Lord, is the second coming of Christ. We just sang about it. Isn't it? We should actually meditate upon it, because we should always be prepared when it comes, and then the trumpet sound shall sound from all the corners of the world. What are we doing? Are we doing the will of God, even in meditating upon His word? Even in telling about the love of Christ for lost souls? Say something about the Lord to others while there is time. Because He saved us not just to enjoy His salvation per se, but we also should not keep it to ourselves. I was singing a while ago upon meditating upon this with the children about that hymn, about that song, which inspired me as well as a young people when I was a young in the faith. That God can fill up that lonely, empty feeling if you will trust His promises. People are filled with lonely, empty feeling, and they fill themselves with a lot of things of this world, but it's not being met, isn't it? Even material things, even finances won't satisfy. What does it profit a man if he gains the whole world? The word Amen. Of God says, the Lord Jesus said, Amen. And suffer the loss of his own soul. Again, it's good to echo. When you are young, you always spend your time creating, spending more time in creating big money. But when you grow old, you use those gained wealth or savings to regain your health. It's a pity, isn't it? It's what the proverb says, chasing the wind. So it's good to a better choice to dwell in the house of the Lord and to inquire in His temple and to behold the beauty of the Lord. And we need to hear more preaching like that, isn't it, in our days? And then lastly, that fruits of the quest, the results of the quest, of his pursuit. Number one is that the psalmist, in yearning for a life in which the spirit of worship is never-ending and in which all investigation has been done in the house of the Lord with reverent supplicating for others, what will be the fruits of such pursuit? Well, first of all, there is a rest in his soul. Mm-hmm. There is a rest. Because according to the other verse there from verses 4 to 6, it says, in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle, he shall hide me. There shall be quietness at the heart of what he is longing for. The quietness, I heard somebody pray a while ago, the peace. I think Brother Ray prays about that. We need to have peace. The only place that have peace is in the house of God. There's total quietness in the presence of God. Not just in the sanctuary, but in the presence of God, we can feel peace. By the way, if you don't have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus, and you have not been washed by the blood, and you have no redeeming experience by the blood, and confess him before man that he is your Lord and Savior, you have no right to be in the sanctuary. You are actually despising yourself in the presence of God if you don't have that true, assured relationship with the Lord Jesus as his Lord and Savior, as your Lord and Savior. That's why we need to remember the truth, that longing to be in the house of the Lord, inquiring in his temple, and beholding the beauty of the Lord should be the paramount requisite of that, or requirements of that, is to be a new person in Christ. Not the old person. And you know that He is your Lord and Savior. You have surrendered your life. You have repented of your sin. And that you have experienced forgiveness and a new life and a new sense of directions and motivation that will long, like this psalmist, to dwell in the house of the Lord and to inquire in his temple and to continually beholding the beauty of the Lord. You cannot have this. We cannot manufacture this unless there's a true personal relationship with the Lord. And of course, there is no rest as well, because your sins have not been forgiven. You see? But being a forgiven and saved person by grace through faith, we also sin sometimes, isn't it? So, in order to continually to have that rest, we must confess our sin, renew our commitment, isn't it? Day by day, moment by moment. And then not only rest, that is the fruit of such pursuit. There is security. He said in that verses from 4 to 6, He shall set me up upon a rock. And who is our rock? Our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay. He shall give me the sense of firmness of His goodness to me and to you. He will inspire my consciousness with a faith that everything is not loose or slippery or uncertain. There's certainty in Christ. The psalmist says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good." I can do all things through Christ who always strengtheneth me. That's certainty, isn't it? And the hope of Paul, for me to live is Christ. That's certainty. He is a great intellectual of his time. He was trained in the philosophical learning of his time. That's why he wrote a lot of books that inspires philosophers as well. Atheists who become Christians. Because he knows the philosophies of his time that can be applied today. And engage people today as well for the hopelessness of atheism. There's security in Christ. The man becomes sure of God. And in that assurance, his security is complete. When we say in the end, like Paul, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." And then, lastly, the elevation, which Psalm 27, verse 46 says, "Now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. I shall be above my old worries, my old problems, my old temptations." Yes, we can only overcome. What this Apostle Paul is trying to impress upon us as well, in I think it's also in the book of Philippians, not only I can do all things through Christ, but I am more than conquerors through Him who loved us and who died for us, through our Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord lift us above our enemies and make us more than conquerors through Christ. And Psalm 23 actually is an evidence of that. "Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. But I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forevermore." We must find our purpose in our prayers for others. We must shape our desire and our aspirations and ambitions when we supplicate for others. We must turn our supplications when we pray for others, that the Lord will meet their needs. That become our duty. God will be sending us to meet that duty, to meet that needs of others, isn't it? Do you realize that when we pray for others, it's God's people whom we will use? And you're not aware of it. But God makes us aware when we do our supplication for others. And let our prayers determine the intensity of our desire and longing to dwell in the house of the Lord and to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. Why don't we, at the end of our worship service tonight, just stand up and read this Psalm 27, verses 4 to 6. Shall we? Why don't we rise it again? Thank you. beginning verse 4 of Psalm 27. Everybody has gotten it? Okay, we can read it together. One thing I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. For in time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion, in the secret place of his tabernacle he shall hide me. He shall set me high upon a rock. And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies, all that they all around me. Therefore will I offer sacrifice of joy in his tabernacle. I will sing, yes, I will sing praise to the Lord. Amen. Heavenly Father, thank you for this great truth which the psalmist has discovered for himself, that you are not only present in his surroundings, but he longs to dwell in your house all the days of his life. He want to behold the beauty of Lord, the beauty of your holiness, and the majestic love that continually show your provisions, your sovereignty over his life. And also, Lord, inquiring in his temple, because that's the place not only to pray, but he is always instructed there in thy holy word. Lord, may all these truths that we have read be part of each one of us, and continue to long more and more until they are developed in our fellowship, in our Christian life, and fellowship, and affecting others as well. For thy great truths, to be a better servant of thine, and to see and taste that the Lord is good. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Amen.